We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show. It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Congratulations. 5 o'clock fire. All of you are off work. The weekend is here, and damn sure after yesterday, the hell after what all these sports teams are doing to you, you probably need a drink right now. Go ahead and hit your
light and jump off in this pool.
Billy, go ahead and hit that bad boy. Go ahead and do what you need to do. But luckily for you, as you get off work for the weekend, Dirty and Show have all the latest news that you need to know. But the big thing that's on everyone's mind is what happened last night, the beyond disappointing showing on national television on NBC. The Texans lose 34-20. And we've talked about, you know, a lot of the things that went wrong. But were there any things for you, anything that you could look at, Clint, that you say, well, there's something to at least build on from that game last night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you look at David Johnson, I think he's a nice add, not just a your everyday average running back in the backfield in the NFL. I mean, this is a guy that's got some get up, he's got some twitch, he's got some lateral movement. I mean, he's still got every bit of the talent and that he's had, you know, back in the 2016 and 2018, the years when he had the good seasons in the NFL. I mean, this is a guy that the Texans can build around, no doubt about it.
You can completely see. Like, anybody looks at and thought, like, David Johnson or Carlos Hyde, get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was completely obvious.
Yeah.
He's more talent.
No, there's no doubt about it. And I mean, David Johnson is a guy that you can build around. He caught a screen. He made a guy miss. He produced in the zone read game. I mean, he's a guy that the Texans will be able to continue to build around. I think Jordan Akins is a guy that's got to get more touches some way, shape, or form. Yeah. When they're in 11 personnel, it needs to be Jordan Akins. And he's a guy that can stretch the field vertically. You know, he's a guy that can run after catch. And he's a guy that look, it appears that Titus Howard is going to need a little bit of help if you run up against another elite pass rusher at the defensive end or outside linebacker position. He's a guy that should be able to hold up in those types of situations and help the tackles when need be. He's a guy that you can do a lot with. So there's definitely pieces that you can build on. And look, man, there's every training camp, first week, first 2 weeks, we always hear it. Defense is ahead of the offense. Defense is ahead of the offense. Defense is ahead of the offense. So when you talk about this offense struggling, when you talk about this receiving core, I look at it as you've got two main targets that have practiced very little. There was no training camp. There was no preseason. It's no surprise that the defense was ahead of the offense, that the offense was struggling. There's a lot of reading that goes on. There's a lot of chemistry that's needed. There's a lot more goes into playing offensive football, particularly passing game. And so I think that'll get significantly better as well.
I think the two players that were probably, you could argue, were most hyped during camp, we were hearing about David Johnson, as you spoke of, and then I think Jacob Martin was a guy that we kept hearing more. And I remember saying, after they talked about this guy, what was it? Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator, said he was the first player that jumped off his mind. And then after the final scrimmage, Bill O'Brien stated, hey, J. Jacob Martin was probably the one that stood out the most.
Yep.
I said, I want to watch him week one. I watched him. He beat what I would believe Mitchell Schwartz, the best right tackle in football, and beat him like that. Easy. Yep. Easily yep. beat him. He's a guy that's got to get more snaps, and he jumped off the page last night.
I tell you another guy, didn't jump off the page, but another guy that I think had a good first game with the Texans, and that's Eric Murray. I think he tackled really well in space. You know, he did the things, and I said this a long time ago. Like, I don't know about the $6 or $7 million a year. Look, forget about the contracts at this point in time. Is the guy a player or not, and is he going to help the Texans win football games? And I look at him right now, and he had a good first game in this sense. Is he was a good number two safety beside whoever the other safety was. It wasn't Justin Reed a lot of the time. He was at corner, so. You know, he did a good job. He came down. Their plan was obviously bend, don't break. He came down and made several really good tackles. There were no glaring mistakes that he made. Could he have got the interception on the overthrow by Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, he dropped that.
Yeah, he could have got that. I mean, but when it's all said and done, I look at Eric Murray as week one. Is he worth $6 or $7 million? Don't know. But week one, is he a guy that you believe can play your number two safety position and this defense can have some success with? Sure.
In this game, the plan was not to get beat on the big play. He never let Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman get behind him.
Yep.
So that's a plus. So, yeah, Eric Murray, that's another good one.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, here is the latest coming with the Rockets from Orlando, the bubble. They lose last night. They dropped game four, 110-100. And now they're down in the series 3-1 in game five Saturday. But game five, Clint, is going to be played without Daniel House Jr. And not just game five. This is just the latest. The NBA announces that Rockets forward Daniel House Jr. is out for the remainder of the playoffs. The league determined House had a guest in his hotel room over multiple hours on September 8th who was not authorized to be on campus. He has already left the bubble to head back home. Daniel House is no longer going to be with the Rockets for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one for Daniel House to get beyond with the Rockets organization in general, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, he came out. I did not do it. I did not do it. And he's been definitive. I did not do it. They got it wrong. That is not.
Well, I mean, look, regardless of whether he lied till the day that he died, I mean, that's irrelevant. I mean, to me, it's one of those deals where –
You really screwed
them
over.
They were they – was it after game one or game two?
Two.
They were 1-1 in the second round of the playoffs versus LeBron and AD. You're a starter slash sixth man for sure, a big-time part of this team, and they flat needed you to win this series, have any chance to win this series, and – you did. I don't care what it was. You did something that put your play, your ability to be on the team at jeopardy. Man, that's tough to think it's tough to think that this organization is going to handle it in any other way other than move
on.
You
think
Daniel
we've seen our? You think this is the last?
I don't know what his contract looks like, and I don't know how bound to that they would have to be. But I would think a situation like this. In that moment, if this was an early season game or something, okay. Even if it was in the regular season, eight games they were playing, whatever. But second round of the playoffs, game three, series tied 1-1.
You just can't let Hornet get the best of you like that.
Not at that time. At that moment, regular season.
What'd you say? It's untied and undefeated.
Untied and undefeated, baby.
Good God Almighty!
Took out.
He didn't lie. But you took out
Mike Tyson. Took out Tiger Woods.
We're going to be here all day long if you're going to keep running this list.
Damn near took out Michael Jordan.
We did take out Scottie Pippen, come on down.
Hey.
I mean, it took out.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty sure it took out a couple of game show hosts. Craig Woolery took him out. But, no, in the first round, Daniel House was one of the best players off the bench for them.
Yeah.
Like, he was very, very vital. And him not being out there, that is that is wild. So, yeah, you're right. But James Harden, we'll see. Game five, what are you going to do? James Harden yesterday went to the free throw line 20 times, and he scored a total of 21 points for the game. He made 16 free throws, 2 for 11
yesterday.
That's
hard to do.
That's hard to do. When I see the box, if you just look at the box score, didn't watch the game, James Harden went to the free throw line 20 times. Oh, hell. What, he had 50 last night? Nah, baby. 21.
21.
He made 16 of them. Good God, man. Good God.
Tough day in Houston yesterday, man.
I tell you. It was, and it was just the mental stuff. Head coach Mike D'Antoni said the reason why they thought they lost last night was because of a lack of spirit.
I think you can probably say that about all three sports, professional sports franchises in Houston right now.
That's what Dusty would say, too, after his 11th Newport. Lack
they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. Yeah. You know, nobody bunted.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this one's interesting. And if you were listening to the general who we had on, and if you missed it, you can hit the radio.com rewind and listen to him on that shameless plug. You can hit that because he spoke about this latest news with the Texans. This coming out late yesterday that the Houston Texans made an 11th hour effort to keep Jadeveon Clowney from signing with the team that used to be the Oilers, the Tennessee Titans. That was first talked about by Mike Florio. But he said it was 11th hour. We talked to McClain earlier. He said, he reached out to him from what he heard early on and gauged the interest, and he said no. Clowney said no. Which to me, Clint, that's really interesting that Bill O'Brien reached out to potentially try to look at this. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I mean, there's no doubt about it that Bill O'Brien is – there's a pride factor there. And to think that he hung the ego at the door and picked the phone up and called Jadeveon Clowney after the way that whole thing came to a head and ultimately came to an end, that's shocking to me to think that he did that. So that news should make you feel a little bit better about at least he attempted to get Jadeveon Clowney in here to help shore this defense up. Now, unfortunately – you and I and the rest of Texans Nation, we've seen this defense in live action, and it's pretty easy to understand where Bill O'Brien would have gotten to the point where he felt like he needed to make that call.
And it's interesting to me if he made that call then and thought about that, did he just think Jadeveon Clowney and nobody else? Guys like Clay Matthews out there, Everson Griffin out there, if he made the call early in the offseason –
yeah,
he obviously thought there was some issue there that needed to be added if he was going to look at Clowney. The other piece, all right, that's interesting. Well, at least Bill O'Brien is leaving his ego at the door, and saying, "Hey, it's about winning. I'll go look at." Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, unfortunately, it didn't work out. And again, you know, you could see last night
why he made
that call. And I don't know why he would have made the call to anybody else. But obviously, a tough night for the defense last night. And Clowney would have helped. There's no doubt about that.
That's right. All right. Coming up last night, quite frankly, for Deshaun Watson, just wasn't good enough. But should he get as much blame as Bill O'Brien? We'll get into that coming up.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Get it cranked up on a football Friday,
that's a good
baby.
One, baby.
That's right. Get it cranked up. And while we're getting you in this good mood, folks, it's time to have a real, real conversation here. That, look, man, one of the things that was really disappointing last night was just the whole nature and attitude of the team and how they approached things. They were lackadaisical. They didn't seem like they had a lot of urgency. They didn't seem like they were – it felt like it was a preseason game almost.
Yeah.
It felt like a field game that didn't – and not a game of, this is a team that just took you out. This is the team you had to hear about all offseason, and you got them first. Like, they seemed more intense. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Pat Mahomes, them cats seemed more intense than you did. And, yes, listen to me when I say this. Bill O'Brien is the head coach, so much of this falls on him. Because if your team goes out there and looks that way, you got to look like, hey, they weren't ready to play. John McClain said it earlier today. Clint, you've said it. They look like they weren't ready to play. It falls on him. But you know who else it falls on? The guy who is the highest paid player on this team. The guy who has the second highest contract in the history of the game. The guy who they built this team around, who is the leader of this team. The guy, when you look at the roster, that you say, oh, that dude's great. Deshaun Watson. And if you look at him, he was lackadaisical himself. The end of the third quarter, Clint, you're a quarterback. You know that can't happen. Not a high schooler. If you were coaching a high schooler with 25 seconds left, you're trailing in the game that you just don't get a snap off and appear to not even know that it's the end of the third quarter. And to me, I may be the only person in this city who will treat this cat with the respect that he deserves. Deshaun Watson is one of the great players in this league, I believe, and an elite player. And I will not treat him lower. And I have higher expectations for him than I do other players. And for him, for his team to follow his lead the way it did, that's unacceptable. You can't do that no more. This ain't your rookie year no more. It's not acceptable to you to fill up the stat sheets in the time of the game where it doesn't matter anymore like you did in the past. And we were like, oh, man, no, you're in year four. You're the best player on this team. This is your team. You make the money. No more passes.
Yeah, look, this is the bad part of that show is that what the Texans did last night from a lot of different angles is what people expected the NFL to look like given there was no training camp and there was no live actions leading into it. The problem, though, is that Pat Mahomes, the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they took the field with a little different approach, with a little different energy. They were a little bit more ready to rock and roll when the ball was rolled out there and it was time to snap it and go to work. And so to me, that raises all expectations, right? If both teams would have been sloppy and lackadaisical, we'd have sat back and said, ah, man, it's just the times we're living in, man. COVID-19 got the best of these cats, no training camp, yada, 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 right? But the problem is you sit down and you watch that game last night, and the reality of the situation is the Texans are trying to get where the Kansas City Chiefs have been and where their organization is. Mm. That's a fact of the matter. They're trying to get there. They're trying to become a Super Bowl contender so that they could possibly win one. Regardless of the situations that led up to Thursday night's game, everybody was given the same opportunity to work, the same opportunity to get in shape, the same opportunity to be ready to play when that game kicked. And the fact of the matter is, when Kansas City walked out there and Frank Clark and Chris Jones were ready to rock and roll. And not because of the stat line said so at the end of the night. Hell, watch the game. They were playing at a different speed. Tyrann Mathieu, he was ready to rock and roll. They had rookies outside at the corner position ready to rock and roll.
But it starts with their leaders.
There's no question, Show. I'm with you. That's where I'm going with it is ultimately it goes to – who is the face of the organization, right? Your leaders have to be your hardest workers, and your hardest workers will be contagious throughout your organization. And it was obvious last night on both sides of the ball that the Kansas City Chiefs had went through training camp and had busted ass and had worked at game speed and were ready to play, and it was obvious that the Texans didn't. And I think when you look at the Texans, first and foremost, you got to look at Deshaun Watson, and first and foremost, you've got to look at the lack of a sense of urgency, and that's contagious. Yes. And that was a problem throughout the night on both sides of the football for the Houston Texans.
Yes, this was, as we said, Bill O'Brien, your team comes out looking the way it did. It's on the head coach. You had all week to get them together. It's on the head coach. But also, In big boy time, your leaders on your team are the guys that also then come and take it. You sure played with great leaders. You played with Troy Aikman. You played with Emmitt Smith. There's no way. Hell, I bet you them playing some of their rivals, the Washington Redskins before they became just a football team. But Washington, who were rivals to Dallas, or or the Giants who were rivals to Dallas or the Eagles. Just regular games. This is a different game. Pick it up. Not to mention a game. What is it? 82-14 or something?
Yep.
Was the ass kicking that this team had given you?
And at that point in the game last night, look, here's the deal. In Kansas City in the playoffs, they got up 24-0. From the time that the Texans scored the 24th point to the time it was 31-7 last night in that game, they had been outscored 82-14 by the Kansas City Chiefs.
82-14, brother. 82-14. And listen, Bill gets his, but this is your team. When they come out looking the way they did, I'm looking at you. That's how I do it with James Harden. This is your team. We all do it. And so the point of, you don't have the time or the understanding, Clint, to look at the play clock at the end of the third quarter and see the time is running down. But in the middle of the first quarter, you are cognizant enough as you run out of bounds. Oh, there's Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go sit over here and kick it with him for a little bit. That popped into your mind when you ran off the sideline as a moment, but it didn't pop in your mind, oh, I need to get this playoff in the third quarter. Like, you are too good for that to be the performance.
Yeah, he's too good to get skull drug 82-14 in any span of time by any team and go about business smiling, laughing, joking. That to me, that's just not Deshaun Watson. That's not the Deshaun Watson that I've seen. And it was very interesting to see that last night. You mentioned Troy Aikman and you mentioned some of that stuff back in the day.
Yes.
Let me hit you with this little bit of audio right here. That it's Troy Aikman on the sideline.
Hey guys, that's a f-ing embarrassment out there. That's a damn embarrassment. We can't block anybody up the f-ing out or hugging the ball early. F-ing Junior League. Somebody's got to get their attention, and I tell you, Jack, I am tired of being a guy who's got to run down everybody's damn throat all the time. Why don't we have a coach who gets over there and does something about it? Instead, we want to go over and pat everybody on the ass, and they haven't done a job all night. Guys out there off, and nobody says anything about it. We got a head coach who won't say anything about it. We got coaches offensively won't do anything about it. I mean, enough's enough.
I understand.
Babysitting's over.
That's his team.
Come on, man. I mean, that's. And look, you got to lead from within your own personality. But my point is there ain't no doubt about it when you hear that Troy Aikman hated losing. Troy Aikman hated his opponent when you had them uniforms on and they were your competition. And that in today's game is rare. But look, there's no doubt about it that I didn't realize how like legitimate that message that Troy said. I just like the fact that he was heated on the sideline. But right now, where the Texans are right now, that's precisely what Deshaun Watson needs to be preaching on the sideline.
You got people, come on, man. You got people out here committing false starts in a stadium that's got 15,000 people in it.
You ever heard that audio?
Yes. I enjoyed that football's life of Troy.
It's so beautiful.
He went over to that side and he just could not be calmed down. But that's what I'm saying.
Beautiful.
Like, Deshaun, like, our head's not in the game in the first quarter. Tytus Howard and Zach Fulton jumping off sides. False starts, there's 15,000 people in the stands.
Yeah.
At some point, get your head out. But I can't tell you. You tell them get your head out when you don't snap the ball at the end of the third quarter. Like, he's too good for that. He's too good.
I agree. You asked me earlier.
And he's a great leader. He's been a great leader his whole life.
You asked me earlier what was the most disappointing thing about the game, and that's it to me, is the comments after the game, and not necessarily what he said, but the tone. I disagree with John McClain. I immediately, when I heard that last night, I was like, that ain't the Deshaun Watson I know after getting drugged, after getting beat like that. Nah, that's a different tone. So – that's the most disappointing thing to me is the actions throughout the game, letting the game clock run out in the third quarter, not getting a playoff, the lackadaisical just kind of standing at the line of scrimmage, looking around, and not getting as many plays off as you possibly can to give the team a chance to win. Those are things. Here's the deal. Here's what's interesting is, yeah, a coach could control that. But we've said time and time again that it's time Deshaun Watson's got to take this organization by the bull by the horns, because nobody else is. It ain't gonna work the other way. That's
great,
the only
players,
option.
Coaches don't have to.
But that's you. We you can argue that, like, Andy Reid doesn't have to do that. He does that stuff for Pat Mahomes. I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but you can argue that because he's as involved. The fact of the matter is you've seen it time and time again. It's not gonna work in Houston. Deshaun Watson has to take the bull by the horns, and I am disappointed that being the case, that the simple playing with a sense of urgency when you're down, getting to the line of scrimmage and getting the ball snapped, that in itself, the simple things seem to be a struggle and go just, I mean, like it's not that difficult. That's stuff that Deshaun's learned since he was in high school. I don't know, man. That's tough for me to stomach.
713-572-4610. You could text in. I see the lines going. We'll continue this. Right now, I think personally that Deshaun Watson, as the leader of this team, the second highest paid player in the history of the game, and that matters, year four, they've built this team around you. Deshaun Watson, to me, gets as much as this, nearly as much as Bill O'Brien. I'd say 55% Bill O'Brien, 45% Deshaun Watson, the leader of this team. What's your thoughts? We'll get into that next. Andre Ware, former Houston Cougar.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, welcome back in. As I said, man, and I see the phone lines lit up here, 713-572-4610. We'll let you in on a beautiful Football Friday here. But this was what we're talking about here, and like I said, man, I'm honest, man. You know, Deshaun Watson, I will make no bones about it, is my favorite player in the NFL. I look at him like a brother.
You never met.
And he doesn't see that, and I'm sure this is not helping. But I'm going to be honest about things, and I hold that cat in top level authority, and I will look at him that way. And now he has added the money, the contract, which are the things that you pay this cat to pick up the slack on other things. When you make him the second biggest contract in the history of the sport, that means you look at him to be a great player, to be a leader, to be a guy that can pick up the slack that is weaker in other areas because you paid him the second highest paid player in the history of the sport. So things change. Things change now. You're year four. They've made many of the changes for this to be your team and your offense. And last night, I would give 55% of the issues and blame in terms of how they came out to play to Bill O'Brien and the head coach, because you're the head coach. If your team comes out looking that way, then I'm looking at you. Something happened during the week, whatever. But the leader of the team, the dude with the bag, and I mean the big bag, $111 million bag, and the player that's great, hey, your team followed your lead, and there was a lot of lackadaisical play and walking up and lack of urgency throughout from him himself, and they just followed suit.
You know, I don't know about percentages, show, and it's hard not, for me not being inside to go, well, it's on Bill or it's on Deshaun, and I don't know the dynamic of what goes on in the locker room, but I do know the impact that a quarterback can have in the way that he approaches things, the sense of urgency, the energy that he brings to the table, and that I do know how contagious that can be. And there's no doubt about it that there's – last night when you watched that game from the quarterback position, there was a severe lack of urgency. And I think that is a sign of how you practice. I think that's a sign of how prepared and ready you are for the game. And I do think it's a sign of how you're coached, unfortunately. And the problem is everything you mentioned – makes, you know, if it was Tom Savage, okay, I'm going to expect a whole hell of a lot out of Tom. If it were Brock Osweiler, all right, man, whatever. You got a contract that you should be doing some of those things, but I don't expect you to to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and run the show. You know what I mean? When it's Deshaun Watson and you've won national titles in college,
you've been a great leader your whole life.
You're clearly the alpha in the room. I believe that they're at a point where Deshaun has to. We've talked to former players, former Texans. We've talked to people that have been in this studio for years, and it's all about, you know, he's the alpha. He's a decision maker, not a suggestion maker, and it's his team now, and he's making the decisions. Well, you don't have those kinds of responsibilities and then go out there and lack energy, lack urgency, and things of that nature. That's the fact of the matter. And look, we can sit here and say, well, Bill O'Brien coached teams. They've come out and they haven't been prepared. I just got a tweet, my man David. How many times have we heard someone say that O'Brien-led teams didn't show up ready to play? That existed before Deshaun got here. Deshaun needs to tighten up on his backstroke too, but OB has a history of not having his teams ready to play. Well, here's the deal. And I don't disagree with a ton of that. But here's the deal if you're Deshaun, is do you take the bull by the horns or you just continue the same old routine? If you do believe that about Bill O'Brien coach teams, do you just accept that fact and do you just roll out there however the next couple of years unfold, the next 6 years unfold? Or do you grab the bull by the horns and do you change the way that this organization is ready for games or not? And to me, Deshaun Watson has the ability to impact the organization in a way that would change that dynamic. With or without Bill O'Brien here, Deshaun Watson could change the dynamic of having guys ready, and it starts with himself. And what we saw yesterday, again, was not what I expected from Deshaun Watson. From an execution standpoint, with dealing with urgency, getting to the line of scrimmage, getting the ball snapped, all the way to what you mentioned, him running off the sideline and sitting next to Pat Mahomes and patting him on the leg and smiling at him when that should be the guy. He's got everything that you want other than money. and probably you probably prefer yours over him. But football terms, he's got everything you want. And now ain't the time for that kind of back and forth, in my opinion. That's the fact of the matter. It's not about you got to blame one guy or the other. It's about the reality of the situation is Deshaun Watson's got an opportunity to take this organization and run with it. And yesterday was not a good look.
We've seen the great ones, man. Drew Brees will grab his crew and set a certain standard of where you should be. Peyton Manning will grab his crew. There's a certain standard when you go on the field and you play with Peyton Manning. We've seen it with Tom Brady. He's gotten Bill O'Brien's ass before when he was his coordinator. We've seen all of the great, and that's how I look at him. I think he is a great player. That's the part about it is I think he is a great leader. He's been a great leader. That's what Deshaun has been. And I just, last night, not saying this is going to be him the rest of the way, but last night, that wasn't good enough.
No, at all. I got to hear it again.
Troy is somebody we've heard. We just heard Troy Aikman.
The message is there.
And this is old.
And this is what I need Deshaun Watson to. This is the approach to the rest of the season right here. That's not what I suggest. Awkward silence is not what I would suggest at this point in time.
Let's
just go take some calls.
We'll take some calls. And Tyler's had a hell of a week. He's ready to roll. We'll take some calls here. Roland, your thoughts on this, man? I looked at Deshaun and I thought to myself, Deshaun, man, you've got to do better than that and have a better performance of that. What's your thoughts, Roland?
Okay, guys, I'm going to say one word right now. Denny Green, to start off with. Then RPO. That's what he ran at Clemson. He was the best. He won almost two national championships. And his rookie year, he ran the RPO offense. Ever since that rookie year, O'Brien has been disarming him, tied his hand behind his back. He's not running it. Now, Andy Reid runs the version of the West Coast offense. That works well for them. Put him in his element. Let him run the RPO. He's the best quarterback I've seen run it. So what do you guys think about that?
Appreciate your call, Roland. Sure. I mean, we talked about this throughout the season. There could be better things to put him in a place. But him running RPOs has nothing to do with me, to me, with him in a mind place of preseason game number two. Let me go chill and hang with the guy who's got the crown I'm trying to get. Lackadaisical, not holding players and other guys accountable and not being the leader that I know he can be. That has nothing to do with the plays, the play calling. If he's the leader, you can go and change plays. You're the alpha there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, here's the deal. The RPO, they ran several RPOs last night. A lot of the stuff that you saw Fuller catch over the middle of the field was RPOs. There's several RPOs called where it looked like he handed it off. So I think they ran a lot of RPOs. The fact of the matter is, I just hesitate from a scheme standpoint and from a player standpoint, really evaluating these guys too harshly because they just didn't have enough. The fact of the matter is, Kansas City ended up winning the time of possession 34-47 to 25-13. And I don't know exactly what that was at halftime, but I guarantee you it was lopsided as hell. They didn't have a whole hell of a lot of plays early in the first three quarters of this game. And so the opportunities were few and far between. So you look at they had a hard time getting in rhythm. That's not an excuse. That's just the reality. They still should have scored when they had the football to keep this thing interesting. So they could have got more opportunities. They still needed to get Kansas City off the field to give the offense more opportunities, no doubt about it. But the reality of it is when you look at the offense as a whole and you go, they should have done this or they should have done that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you had some key drops in key moments, and you were playing a Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion, and those caliber teams make you pay for mistakes. Think about the any year when Brady was quarterbacking and New England was winning Super Bowls. It was just keep it steady, stay right there. If you can separate, but you're very comfortable in a close game, and the minute they make a mistake, boom, you go up two scores.
Yep.
And now you've got complete control of the game. And that's what champions do. They make you pay for your mistakes. And the minute the Texans make a mistake, the minute they go conservative, the minute that they miss a field goal, it isn't just, all right, we'll take a knee and go in the locker room. It's, oh, you missed a field goal? We're going to go down and go get our own. Not only that, we're damn near going to score.
And we know we got the ball coming out of half, yeah, and we're going to get you again.
And that's what Kansas City does. And it's just the fact of the matter. That's where Houston's at. And I don't look at this offense and go, oh, man, he missed DeAndre Hopkins. Boy, DeAndre would have made a ton of difference. I don't look at this offense and go, man, what in the hell was going on, you know, here or there? Were there some moments? Yeah, four back-to-back runs when you were down 21 or 24, whatever it was. In the third quarter, and yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that going, what the hell's going on? But that's, I mean, those are all minuscule. The issue is they couldn't get him off they couldn't get Pat Mahomes off the field on defense, and offensively there was no rhythm, there was no chemistry, they were never on the same page, and it was an ugly night off. It looked like they've been walking through all of training
and,
camp,
and as we've said. That's on the coaching staff, and they've got to they made a decision on how they were going to go about things during camp, and it showed on the field. We showed a lot of people that didn't have a lot of physicality in a way that it was apparent the Chiefs had.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I've thought about this a lot. Like, you know, last night on the drive home at 2 o'clock in the morning after the post game show,
I was already asleep.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt. You'd already been to Turkey Leg Hut and had you two pops. Probably more than two. You just told me about two.
Two of them. Came home and drank.
But you know, I thought about this a lot, man, and this is the reality of it, right? The Texans are in foreign territory, right? They're trying to do things differently to get to where they're a Super Bowl contender, to get to where they can push Baltimore and Kansas City. They're trying to get there, right? So a lot of what they do is blind faith, right? Kansas City is a team, and they're dealing with a lot. All the different social injustice things, all of COVID-19. I mean, there's a ton of things that they're having to deal with and maneuver through while they're trying to do things differently that'll give them a different advantage and help them take the next step. Kansas City's got a huge advantage over everybody else because Kansas City comes in and goes, hey, guys, doesn't matter what COVID-19 says. Hey, guys, doesn't matter what the social injustice in the country is right now. Doesn't matter. We know what it takes to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And do you guys want to show up and do it or do you not?
Right? See,
being physical at practice. We heard Eric Bieniemy talk about physical camp for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, physical as ever. He'll be ready to play, have your butt ready to play, all those things. There's no buck in the system and saying, oh, man, you know, there's no guessing by the coaches if we should do it this way. No, here's the blueprint. We want a Super Bowl with this. Y'all want to win another Super Bowl? Show up. We're going full pads. We're going to go for 2 hours. We're going to go full speed. We're going to tackle to the ground, whatever it may be. They've got an advantage because there is some show up and get the work done and you can win a Super Bowl. There's no unknown. There's no shooting in the dark. There's no blind faith. It is what it is.
They treated it like a big game from their coaching staff to the leaders on their team on down. They treated it like it was a huge game. The Texans treated it like it was something
else. A preseason game.
From their coaches to their leaders on down. All right, before we get to some more calls here, this is the last day that we're doing this, and let's get it going right here, man. We have been partnered here at Sports Radio 610 with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, and we are trying to make this final push to get and raise $100,000 to try to help underprivileged kids in the Houston area. We are asking, potentially, if you're suggested to donate $30, $30 because we believe that will allow us to get 6 books for his or her kids to be able to pick on their own wish list through my home library. And we're trying to get to $100,000. If you want to give more than 30, hey, baby, we're here. Go ahead and do that. But give what you can, but $30 is what we are suggesting. To do that, text HTX Reads to 41444 to be able to contribute. That's HTX Reads to 41444. Let's go ahead and help these kids in need. And you've been doing a great job, and we want you to continue, but this is the last day that we're doing this. Yeah. And let's go ahead and take care.
Special thanks to South Fork Chrysler Dodge, Jim Adler, McCree Ford, Phillips 66, and all of our amazing listeners for the donations and incredible outpour of support to this point. It's been absolutely amazing. Call your friends. Call your relatives. This is it's quick. It's easy. There's any amount helps, and there's no doubt about it, you're making a difference in a child's life. You're changing a child's life with a donation of any size. Again, call your friends, call your family. If you've already donated, make sure the people around you are donating. This is a special cause, and ultimately, every dollar that you donate, it goes directly to help a kid take the next step, help a kid grow, overcome adversity, and ultimately have a better chance to succeed.
Yeah. One thing about the game yesterday, that run defense as Baltimore comes to town, whew.
Yeah.
Baltimore, the next game after that's Pittsburgh. And then the next game after that is Minnesota. They love to run the football. They got to get that fixed and fixed soon.
Yeah, that's the scary part. So you mentioned two things. Baltimore's coming, and I just don't know that you can fix it soon. I mean, Again, I disagree with the thought that DJ Reader isn't missed on this team. I think he's a guy that maybe I minimized the effect of DJ not being here, talking about Blacklock and these other guys. Maybe I was inaccurate in doing that. I knew there would be an impact negatively. I didn't think it would be so glaring in week one versus a pass happy offense that's not known for their power run game. So I'm majorly concerned with the run defense. That's my number one concern. Everything else I saw,
fixable.
It's fixable. I mean, everything else, the tempo stuff we talked. I mean, the sense of urgency stuff.
Yeah,
hey, man, Deshaun can change. He could have heard us earlier and change it immediately. He could have a meeting with Bill O'Brien and change it immediately. I mean, those are things that can be changed immediately. Coverage, pass game. The pass protection issues with Titus Howard, a game plan can help that. Those can all be changed immediately. That run game defense is a real problem, and it's gut check time for J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Benardrick McKinney, It's gut check time,
Zach
man.
Cunningham, you're in that too.
Yep.
All right, Steve, man, go ahead, man. Thank you for holding on with us and hanging out with us. Go ahead. What's your thoughts, Steve?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to make a few comments. Same old Texans. I had a story I wanted to tell both you guys. But first, I wanted to kind of rag Clint a little bit when you guys were talking about Hilaire yesterday, about it wasn't the Arkansas linebackers. It looked like he took care of business last night.
Ooh, didn't anyway, he though? And, hey, I hear that Louisiana in that accent too, by the way. So yeah.
All right, we got about 30 seconds, Steve. We got to get out of here.
Hey, anyway, I was at a buddy's ice house yesterday, and I'm going to tell you how much confidence that our Houston fans, and I'm a Houston fan, sports fan, but I was sitting there, and I said, hey, I bet anybody in the bar, there was about 15, 18 people, I bet anybody in the bar a bucket of beer that the Houston sports teams goes 0-3. And I believe not one person took my bet. So that goes and shows you how much confidence the sports fans of Houston have.
Smart guy, Steve. I appreciate you joining us. Hell yeah.
I wonder what Ice House Steve
They went 0-3. I want to meet Steve. I want to go drink with Steve. What I want to do. Great week. We'll be back here Monday. Tyler, great job. Texans All Access behind us. The Voice, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Clint, go kick, put the toes up, baby.
No doubt.
I know you will.
Saturday and Sunday off this week for the last time in a long time.
My mama's in town, man. We're going to hang out with moms this weekend.
Teresa didn't raise no punks.
She didn't, man. She's probably going to tell me how ashy my ankles are. All right, I'm Ron, the show Hughley.
Ashy ass Ron.
Ashy, we love you. Then I look at you,
and the world's all right with me. Me a Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.